Welcome back, everybody, to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Why? Because that's all I do, amicable divorces. Today's episode has to deal with denial, anger, and communication, with the overall message being if we can deal with these aspects of our interpersonal side of the divorce, we can accept the divorce and we can evolve from it. That's the ultimate goal, accept and evolve. But we need to get through denial and anger so that we can have good communication in order to use the divorce to accept and evolve. So denial and anger prevent good communication. And if you don't have good communication, you're going to have a very rough time making your settlement decisions. Without good communication, you won't have an amicable divorce. I'm going to show you how these two culprits of denial and anger not only prevent good communication, but I want to give you ways to have effective and constructive communication for a good divorce experience. And it may sound weird that I'm even saying to have a good divorce experience, but it is an experience, like it or not, divorce, and it can either be the worst experience you've had in your whole life, or you could go from it being earth-shattering to creating a whole new world for you. It really depends on how you use adversity in your life, how you deal with challenges in your life, and how you work towards moving your life forward. That's really what this is about. So let's get to work. Let's talk about denial first. There are several ways denial affects you, and I'm going to give you those ways. Number one, denial that you had a great marriage. You know, people call me frequently and tell me how shocked they are that they've been served with divorce papers. Shocking. Never saw it coming because they had a good marriage. And the more we talk on the phone in that preliminary conversation where the person is just gathering who they want to use, who's available, what everybody costs. In that conversation, the more the person talks, the more I listen to them describe a really unhealthy relationship because they're in the denial phase. This can't be happening to me. I can't believe it. I just got served with papers. And it's shocking. It's actually shocking. And the first line of defense is going into denial that you had a good marriage. If you had a really good marriage, you wouldn't be served with divorce papers. Obviously, you wouldn't be. So you didn't have a good marriage. And the sooner you can look at your marriage and not go in denial, but to say, okay, we had a really tough marriage. The real thing that's going to help you is going to you and going to your decisions about why you accepted an unhealthy marriage. What made you do that? Now, a lot of my friends are therapists, and they will say, well, you look at where they came from. You look at what they experienced as children, the type of marriage they saw their parents have, and maybe they repeated that. But you really do know on the surface that if you're arguing, if you're not getting along, if you don't enjoy a lot of the same things, if you can't sit and talk to one another, you really don't have a great marriage. Number two, denial. Denial that you should have dealt with the marital issues sooner, like maybe even before the marriage or at the onset of the marriage. You know when you have marital issues. It really is the extreme situation where it looked like it was the perfect marriage to at least you, the person being served, and all of a sudden you can't imagine that your soon-to-be ex was not having the same experience as you. You know, most people know they don't have a good marriage. And most people try and tough it out. They do, then others do eventually go to seek therapy. But a lot of times we just let things go and let things go and hope that they'll work out. And isn't this normal? Doesn't every couple have these issues? Well, of course, every couple does argue at times. To what degree is different in a healthy marriage versus an unhealthy marriage? It really is the degree of arguing, the degree of unsettledness when you try and communicate with each other or do things with each other. But not grappling with the fact that you have marital issues that may or may not be able to be worked out. You need to do that sooner rather than later because honestly, things don't get better with time. They just don't. Number three, denial that you should never have gotten married in the first place. And what are those little signs? Well, that your stomach hurt on the day of your marriage, that your stomach hurt, that you were very unsettled during the planning of the marriage. For me, I really, really, really thought I loved my ex-husband. I really thought I did. Maybe it was lust. I mean, we do get thrown off track with lust. It's not a great indicator that we have a great relationship. I wish it was. Golly, I wish it was, but it's not. And then the day of the wedding, I just wasn't settled. I didn't feel the joy that I think you're supposed to feel. And I've talked to a lot of people, and people that have great marriages are so happy on the day of their wedding. I mean, probably many of you have lives and don't watch Bravo, the Housewife series, but Denise Richards looked like she was having a wonderful time the day of her wedding to Aaron. And on Vanderpump Rules, Brittany and Jax looked like, well, Brittany looked like she was having a marvelous time. All Jax could do is deal with the money portion. And so I wonder in the upcoming episodes what we're going to see transpire in their marital relations, because Brittany was having the time of her life. Jax was, but not to the extent he should have. He was really focusing on other things. So I've also had a client that was hit on the day of her marriage and still went through with it. And I've talked to other people that had negative situations the morning of their marriage and still went on with it, because what do you do? I mean, literally, you're in the middle of it. What do you do? And when I was producing music for private events before I started doing divorce work, I could always tell when the couple came in to choose music whether they were going to get divorced or not, because they weren't able to make decisions. It was, everything was an argument. They couldn't agree on the first dance song. It was tough to agree on the band. I just watched the way they made decisions. And I just said, unfortunately, I have a feeling that these people aren't going to stay married. And I was generally right. And how do I know that? They called me back for their second marriages. And it wasn't that long from the first marriage that I get called for the second marriage. Number four, denial that you lied to yourself about who your fiance was, or you lied to yourself about how you were, how you felt, and what made you feel good and fulfilled. You know, people sometimes don't know what to look for as a definition for and picture of a healthy marriage and relationship. Maybe their family model, as I had said earlier, was turbulent, and a repeat of what is familiar is the model being used going forward now in your relationship. But we do this all the time. We see some good things about the person that we're going out with and getting engaged to, and we have all these other pressures that are coming down on us. Maybe it's our age. And if it's our age, maybe it's our age in relation to having children. Maybe it's we've been going out with this person for 2, 3, 4 years, and it's just time. None of this is good. If you've been going out with somebody for 2, 3, 4 years and nobody's getting married, maybe you shouldn't. Because I can't tell you the number of people who I've gotten divorced who have been together without being married for years and years and years. Then all of a sudden, after 10, 15, 20 years, they actually get married and it doesn't last. And I go back to the Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell model. They're not married. They've had children. They don't want to be married, but they do want to be together. And this kind of brought me to the idea that maybe some people need that freedom in their relationship, the freedom not to be tied together by a legal bond in order to have the relationship that works for them. Marriage isn't for everybody. Marriage really connects you legally and financially in a way that may not suit you. Or you make excuses for who your fiancé is. Oh, he or she will just get over that. Once we're married, everything will work out. That's okay. We'll blend together. No, you won't. You will only blend together if it's a good relationship. You will only forge a unified entity if neither of you are annoyed about each other's idiosyncrasies. And if you really are soulfully connected and know how to have a good relationship. That's the other thing. We have to know how to give and take. We have to know how to communicate. But this thing about lying to yourself about who your fiancé is, it happens all the time. We just don't want to accept who that person is. We really just want to be married and maybe be married to him or her. Oh gosh, if they could just get rid of these personality traits, but they're not going to. They are there to stay unless they recognize that they need to change some personality traits. They're just not going to go away on their own. So lying to yourself about who your fiancé is or who your new spouse is, and then lying to yourself about what you need, not allowing yourself to say, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe I really don't want children. Does that mean we can't get married? Maybe it does. It did in my case. I really thought I could make myself want children, but I couldn't. I just couldn't. I love my nieces and nephews, and I loved being a child. I think I still am a child in many ways, but I didn't want children. Children aren't right for everybody. And, you know, there are just other things. Look at Woody Allen and Mia Farrow. Now, I know this is a weird example to give you because before is it Sun Lee, is that her name? She came into the picture with Woody Allen. They didn't live together. They didn't want, well, at least Woody didn't want to live together, probably. They liked living apart. And I have my BFF, Tommy, who lives in Cleveland. His sister is remarried and has been remarried for many years to her husband. They don't live together. They were living alone for so long before they got married. They were each married previously, and they enjoyed living by themselves. But he bought her a big old house. Fabulous. I got to stay there for a while. He bought her a big old house. They have dinner together. They watch TV. They hang out at night. And then he goes home to his house. You know, we're allowed to have unique relationships. We don't have to have the same old relationship that everybody else has. But you have to know who you are, and you have to say it. And you can't accept less, because you won't be happy and the marriage won't work out. And then lastly for denial, denial that you were not part of the downfall of the marriage yourself. People want to blame the other person all too often. And California, where I work, is a no-fault divorce state. You don't have to give reasons except for domestic violence or extreme behavior. You don't have to give reasons for the divorce. But mostly, both people are participatory to some degree. Maybe one person was really egregious and the other person just accepted it. Well, just accepting it does make you participatory because you have a choice to accept or not accept ill behavior towards you. So when you're telling your story about why the marriage didn't work out, say what it was on your part. What did you invest that may not have been correct to have a good marriage and you didn't? So don't be a blamer. just look at yourself. You can't control the other person. You can only control yourself, and you want to control your decisions going forward so that if you would like to get into another relationship, you'll get into the right one for you. So never deny your part in the relationship that may have either caused it to go south or your part in deciding to marry. Perhaps that was the wrong decision. Okay, so that's denial. Now, denial goes into anger. So that when we deny enough of our reality, we then become angry because we don't know where to put our emotion. So it goes right to anger. And why does it go right to anger? Because anger makes you feel like you're in control. So here are the various aspects of anger. Anger as a result of denial. Why? As I said, because you're not in control. The picture you painted for yourself, distorted as it may be, is now completely destroyed. When your spouse either serves you with divorce papers or says that there is no turning back, he or she is filing for divorce. If the decision isn't mutual, then the power dynamic is skewed in favor of the person who initiates the filing, and the other spouse can get angry. But if you just allow the information, the experience, to pass through you and just absorb the sadness without getting angry, you'll start evolving. So I get it. I get it. You're angry. You're shocked. You're in disbelief. Oh my God, how could this be happening? And then, you dirty dog, how could you do this to me? What is the matter with you? Why couldn't we work it out? Why couldn't we go back one more time to counseling? It's all of that. But it's really because the power dynamic changes and anger allows you to feel in control. Except that your whole body feels like it's out of control, because it is. And so as soon as you can get through the anger, or just as you feel the anger welling up in you, just say, stop. This is anger. This is because I feel out of control. Let's just stop. Let's be quiet. Let's breathe. You have to accept that the marriage is ending if you're served with divorce papers. You have to accept it. And then you move on with self-awareness, emotional healing, so that you can make decisions, because now it's a whole bunch of decisions going forward. And that's what the job is. It's making decisions. Anger, number two. What do you expect anger will do for you? Well, you expect that it'll give you control. The angrier you get, you feel like you'll get more control. That's what anger does. It attempts to reverse the out-of-control feelings we have. Anger keeps you from being honest. Very important. Anger keeps you from being honest about your part in the decision to marry and in denial about why the marriage isn't healthy and ending. So anger will keep you in denial. Denial feeds into anger, and the longer you let anger go on, the more in denial you're going to be. So what do you get angry about? What do you get angry about? Number three, isolate all those reasons that affect your anger and work towards resolving them in the most honest way possible. Honesty is the hardest part of this whole experience, that mirror of self-reflection. And I did a previous podcast called Honesty is the Elephant in the Room. Look for it. It was about a month or so ago. It's a really good episode on honesty and how it has to be dealt with, because that's the thing we push aside so that we can tell the story that makes us feel good. But whatever you can't change, screw it. Leave it alone. If you can't change something, you can't change it. You can't change the past. You can apologize for the past, but you can't change the past. It will work itself out, all those issues, as time goes on. But anger blinds us so that we can't see solutions to problems. All we can do is provide more fuel, more examples of why we should be angry, that we spin out of control even more. When we feel anger welling up, Stop. Relax. Breathe. Just force yourself to calm down and then just say, this is about decision making. This is about self-awareness. This is about moving forward. Nobody's really in control. Nobody. Even your soon-to-be ex-spouse isn't in control. You may think he or she is in control, but they're really not in control. Because if you have a high-conflict divorce, the judge is in control. And I do have many judges that I love that are great. But, I mean, even the best judges, do you really, unless you really need somebody making a decision for you, and sometimes you just need it. That's where the real control is going to sit, unless you take back the anger, get out of denial, and just say, okay, time to make decisions. Make today the first day of your life. Something I was thinking about just the other day, you know, for all the regrets I may have in my life, I wish I had done certain things differently, and we all have some regrets. Any normal thinking person generally does. Just push that in the past. Make this the first day of your life going forward and make better decisions now. That will allow you, by the way, to dissipate the anger. Because a lot of the anger is you have the past and you can't control the past. It's already done and over with. And so, you know, that makes us angry that maybe we did things we wish we hadn't. Screw it. Move on. This is the first day of your life. Take a breath and you can make better decisions. You really can going forward. It's all up to you. So next, what do you say when you're angry? Things that are untrue? Things designed to hurt your spouse? Things it will be hard to take back without a heart-filled, genuine apology? Really listen to yourself. When you communicate in anger, really listen. And if you can just kind of get outside of yourself and be an objective observer, you can start changing the way you respond in anger and redo your responses without anger. If you find yourself getting angry in response, just say, wait a minute, stop. I don't want to be angry anymore. Let me have a second. I want to change the way I'm communicating. Watch what happens. Everything good will happen. How does anger make you feel? Next. Well, it's a false sense of control that can result in a quick fix if arguing and negotiating settlement terms with your spouse. But it won't last. Your spouse will renege on whatever he or she agreed to. Okay, so if you're trying to make settlement agreements with your spouse, and you're angry, and you are kind of beating your soon-to-be ex-spouse to a pulp in a mediation or in a meeting you're having among yourselves, your spouse may cave, but I'm telling you, it's not going to last. I've sat in some mediations where one person is just beating up on the other, and that the other person is just, okay, fine. I go to write the agreement. You know what? No. I don't want that. I just caved because I felt beaten up, preyed upon. So if you think you're going to beat your soon-to-be ex-spouse to a pulp by being angry and forcing them to cave on a decision, just know it's not going to last. And quite often, there is post-judgment remorse. And then you want to vacate the judgment. You want to go back to court and revise the decisions you made for the settlement agreement. That's how it works. Don't let that happen. Get rid of that anger. Do you want to transition to another emotion? What would that emotion be? I think that emotion would be acceptance. If you want to transition out of anger to another emotion, that emotion would be acceptance. With acceptance, there is a huge energy shift into a calmer disposition followed by calmer communication. Just think about anything. Think about the coronavirus. You know, this was devastating to all of us. We're right in the middle of it right now. I fought against it. I was so angry 2 weeks ago because I felt out of control. I didn't want somebody to tell me to stay at home. I didn't want not to go to the restaurant. I didn't want to stand in line for the grocery store. I didn't want Costco to be out of paper towels. And that was just my normal paper towel run. I really didn't even know anything was going on at the time. Yeah, I was angry. And then once I accepted it, and I accepted I couldn't change it, it was real, it's happening, I calmed down. And I said, okay, well, I don't have any choice but to go with the flow. You don't have any choice but to go with the flow of the divorce. You just don't. So you may as well stop fighting it, just relax, put your life together, and move forward. Every day is the beginning of your life going forward. And now we come to communication. We've dealt with denial. We've dealt with anger. We are now not going to be angry because we're not in denial. And we're going to go to the best communication we can have so we can have the best divorce experience we can possibly have. Once you accept that you will be unmarried and lose the anger, stop blaming your spouse or stop being angry at yourself, your communication will transition to one of decision-making, calm, more positive disposition, and you positioned yourself to be happy again. Wouldn't it be nice at the end of the filing, at the end of all the decisions, and this really does happen when people come in to sign, they're smiling. They're crying and smiling, but they're not fighting anymore. It's all over. Now, once the signing of the agreement and the final paperwork happen, you will go through another emotional roller coaster. You really will, because now you actually have the time to breathe. The decisions have been made. So you're going to find yourself a little bit unsettled, but the communication going through the decisions, once you've accepted that this is going to take place and there's no turning back and you're not blaming anymore, the communication will change to be the right communication to have the most positive conclusion to the divorce. The power of acceptance and what that sounds like. Forgive yourself first, forgive your spouse second. It sounds healthy, good, and comforting. And that's what we all need when we're going through our divorce. We need that comfort. And we can have it if we communicate in the best way possible. So I hope this has helped you. Thank you so much for listening to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. I would love it. If you would like to contact me, maybe give me some insight in your own divorce. If you would like to present a topic idea to me, I am completely open to that. Email me at Judy, J-U-D-Y, at constructiveuncoupling.com, judy@constructiveuncoupling.com, or go to my website, Divorce Resource Inc., divorceresourceinc.com, and you can look at what my company offers in terms of services, mediation, and filing, and there's a phone number you can contact me. Thank you again, and I look forward to speaking with you next week.